Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 23. This text presents three facts of fulfilling the great commission of Jesus Christ to his church. The Lord gave three commands for us to obey as we serve him in the world. First of all, believers are sent into the world by Jesus. Chapter 10 of Matthew, verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Wolves. That's talking about false prophets. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. False prophets really have just two goals in their plans: to persecute the true prophets of God and to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul understood this. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 29, he said, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, in the letter to that same group from Acts chapter 20, Ephesians 5:15. "See then that you walk circumspectly," meaning looking all around, "not as fools, but as wise." There is much hostility and spiritual danger out there among the wolves that serve the enemy in seeking to destroy the church. So be wise as serpents. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." So be wise as serpents, but also be harmless as doves. And that literally means innocent. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." So it's Jesus who sends Christians into the world to serve him. Second, believers are not the real focus of Satan's work. Excuse me. Verse 17. "Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, don't worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Jesus is the target of the hate that's suffered by his followers as they serve him in this world. "You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake." Verse 18. "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake." Verse 22. Jesus is the real object of the hatred that's directed at you as a Christian. Look at his words in John chapter 15, verses 18 to 25, and then again in chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. John 15, 18, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. And in John chapter 16, verses 2 and 3, they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. Jesus is the real target of the persecution. The hostile response to your witness is actually aimed at Jesus. Acts chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And then Jesus responds to Peter in Matthew 16, verses 21 to 23. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So, don't worry about how or what you'll say. It's not you who will answer your accusers. It's not about your clever words or your human wisdom. God himself makes you successful in serving him. The Holy Spirit will handle the situation through your personality. It's not easy to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in a world that hates him. You'll be hated by everyone. You will be brought into courts on false charges. You will be punished for committing no crimes. You will be called to stand before hostile leaders. You will be killed if considered too great a threat. Just remember, you're not the real focus of Satan's activity. Jesus Christ is. And third, believers are agents of the Holy Spirit's activity. Verse 23. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Jesus offers us some great exhortation and encouragement here. His servants are expected to be faithfully obedient to their task until he returns for them or they join him through death. Exhortation. If rejected, move on to another. Don't give up. Keep witnessing to Jesus' saving grace. Encouragement. Before you run out of prospects, Jesus will return. You're called to faithfully share the good news until Jesus returns or you meet him in death. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and verse 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, verse 8, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus called his followers to be fishers of men. A modern fisherman once said, "What I do is fishing. If it were easy, we would refer to it as catching. And there would be a lot more people doing it." Amen. You have a great day.